The first case on our calendar is 04244 SCM Chemicals, Inc. versus Thomas Zano, William Wilkins, Tax Commissioner. Mr. Farron.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, this case involves a refund claim filed by SCM Chemical for personal property tax paid on property listed in its 1994 and 1995 tax returns, which property SCM claims was exempt as the subject of three pollution control certificates issued to it. The refund claim was filed under Revised Code Section 571126. That is the only statute which authorizes the tax commissioner to refund personal property taxes. The refund claim was filed after the tax years 1994 and 1995 had become final by operation of Revised Code Section 5711.25. That provision states that returns or assessments based on returns become final the second Monday in August of the second year after the year in which the return is filed. With respect to the 1994 return, that would have become final in August of 1996. The 1995 return would have become final in August of 1997. That date, or those dates, are also pursuant to 571126, the limitation periods for filing refund claims for taxes paid with respect to those years.
Counsel, this property you don't dispute is a property in the nature that would qualify for exemption from taxation?
I believe that's probably the case, Your Honor. The issue was never addressed because the commissioner determined he was without jurisdiction consider the refund
claim. And the problem here that the Board of Tax Appeals went against the tax commissioner on is that this property placed into service and the qualification of this property left the taxpayer in a situation in which, even though the property should be exempt from taxation, there is no way to achieve that result for the years in question.
Essentially, that's correct, Justice Pfeiffer. What the commissioner determined was that because the statute of limitations, authorized him to consider refund claims, had run, he had no authority. What happens with respect to pollution control property is your certificate, the statute says the certificate is effective as of a much, much earlier date, that is the date construction began or construction was completed, various activities that would cause it to become effective. And if the certificate is not issued, or in this case, some of the certificates were not even applied for until many years after the construction began or was completed. But what happens is if you don't take some action before those tax years close to protect yourself in order to obtain a refund, you could lose.
So the delay is fully the fault of the taxpayer here?
No, I'm not suggesting there's a fault one side or the other. Well, I am saying the taxpayer did wait. For instance, the Water Pollution Control Certificate 1900, the application was filed in 1990. But the effective date was 1974. That's when construction began. That's the effective date of the certificate. And yet there was a 16-year period before the application was even filed. Then there is obviously a delay because the Environmental Protection Agency, who reviews these applications, has to look at them. It may take a while to get information and so forth. But the other thing the taxpayer did not do, when it filed for this application, it took no steps to protect itself. It didn't file, with respect to 1994 and 1995, an application for final assessment, which would have kept those years open and they would have been open. And then once they ultimately received, if they received a certificate, they could have then received a refund for those tax years.
Okay. Mr. Farron, I'm trying to get at the larger question. It's understandable the state would take the position if you can file for these certificates in a fashion that would let you have the appropriate tax treatment right from the start. You needed to do that, and the tax commissioner can't provide relief. But it would be a curious position for the state to be in to say that it is the public policy of this state to encourage investment in this kind of equipment for the health and welfare of all the citizens. So we're not going to tax it, but then set up a system in which the taxpayer can't achieve the exemption in a timely fashion because the state sets on the granting of the certificates or those kinds of things past the time in which the tax commissioner could grant the appropriate tax treatment.
But Your Honor, what I'm saying is they did have an avenue available to them. They could have filed an application even prior to the time they actually were issued the certificate. Once they applied for it, they knew they were claiming it. They could have filed an application then.
So then you are saying it is the fault of the taxpayer.
They failed to avail themselves of that remedy. They did so for 1993, but for whatever reason, they did not do so for 1994 and 1995. And I would point out that while SEM asserts that the commissioner's consideration of the 1993 application for refund shows that it didn't believe that the statute of limitations applied, is erroneous. The 1993 application was filed within the statute of limitations. It was filed after the second Monday in August, but the statute also provides that where the commissioner issues an amended assessment certificate within 60 days prior to that second Monday in August, that the taxpayer then has 60 days after the filing of the assessment certificate. For 93, the commissioner issued an assessment certificate on August 4th of 95, and the petition or the application for refund was filed August 30th, well within that 60-day period.
Mr. Farron.
Can you ever be too early in filing your request for exemption?
I don't believe so. There's nothing in the statute that says you can't file for a refund until such time as a certificate is actually issued. And routinely, applications are filed for pending pollution control certificates. And that's done not just in the personal property tax, but in the sales tax and the franchise tax, because the certificates also in the former law, the one at issue in this case, provided for exemptions for those two taxes as well.
So there wouldn't be any problem with the claim being the request being stale, or the commissioner saying we have no jurisdiction because you filed too soon?
That's correct. That has clearly been the tax commissioner's policy.
I guess I have a follow-up question to that. I think this is the first case we've seen with this issue. Is that because, as you suggest, it's not uncommon for taxpayers to file early?
I think that's probably accurate, Your Honor. There was a case before this court a few years ago, the Duquesne case was a major public utility case in which that issue was presented. That case was resolved by the parties prior to the time that the case ultimately went before this court.
If you file that early assessment and you don't get the exemption for 3 or 4 years, does the tax commissioner simply hold that file open that whole time the assessment's pending, the
yes.
exemption's pending?
Yes.
And you don't deny it simply because there is no exemption on the books yet?
That's correct.
Counsel, are the funds for a pending, I'm presuming that the taxpayer would pay the tax, there would be the application pending, and then the determination on whether they were entitled to a refund. Are those funds segregated, or are they distributed to the communities that are the beneficiaries of this tax?
The funds would be distributed to the local taxing authorities, school districts, and various local tax districts.
And then who is responsible for returning those funds? Are the local communities responsible, or are they just their next year taxes are depleted by that amount?
It would depend, Your Honor. Ultimately, the local tax authorities would be responsible for repaying the tax money. There are some opportunities where they can offset future payments, but ultimately they're going to be paying it out of either foregoing current receipts or paying back money that was already collected.
Then the bigger public policy picture here is not the one that was discussed earlier, but the finality as to the taxing, the recipients, the communities, so that they have, with some certainty or finality, at least they're on notice that there's an application and this money may be used against them or need to be returned at some point.
I think that is precisely the major public policy issue that was the reason why the General Assembly did not provide for any exceptions to the running of the statute of limitations with respect to pollution control certificate property. These taxing districts, if, for instance, in the Duquesne case that I mentioned, Duquesne was seeking a refund under the same argument that's made by SCM for taxes paid 15 and 20 years ago. The local taxing authorities would have been in a position where they would have had to have, I don't know where they would have gotten the money, but they would have had to have paid millions and millions of dollars that they had collected and relied upon and spent, because those tax years, under their understanding, had become final by operation of law. If that period is now open, those local authorities would have been in serious financial difficulties. Now, I would point out that the General Assembly, when they restructured the exemption facility, or the pollution control and the other exempt facility provisions, to combine them all of them are now handled in a series of statutes. The General Assembly in 5709-21B clarified that the statute of limitations for filing for refund claims is not affected by obtaining a certificate that has an effective date for years that would go prior to closed years. So they have resolved this issue for subsequent years. However, there are many pollution control certificates out there that were issued prior to this specific language. So those would still be in some jeopardy if the issue, or if the argument raised by SCM or the more limited holding by the board were accepted by this court.
But the tax commissioner is limited by 5711-26. He can't change those time deadlines.
Absolutely, Your Honor. If he can't, if 5711-26 doesn't apply, I don't know how a refund could be obtained, because the commissioner has no authority. He's a creature of statute. He's limited by what the statute authorizes him to do.
Is there any other statutory provision that permits that commissioner to provide a refund other than that code section?
No, Your Honor. 5711-26 is the only statute which deals at all with refunds of personal property taxes. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Farron. Mr. Scoggins.
May it please the court, SCM Chemicals invested over $16 million over a number of period of years in pollution control equipment at its Ashby.
Council, could you direct your comments immediately to the fact that there was an appropriately filed exemption for the 93 year, but for some reason the years in question here were not followed through upon?
Yes. The tax commissioner was engaged in an annual series of audits of SCM's personal property tax returns. The tax commissioner chose to concentrate on the 96 and 97 years prior to 94 and 95. After the 1993 return was filed, the tax commissioner's auditor, when SCM attempted to file a refund claim, told SCM that no refund claim would be considered until the exemption certificate had been issued. And so SCM took that statement of practice at its word and waited until certificates were issued in order to file its refund claims. So the plan proposed
well,
by the
council doesn't that say that doesn't say don't file it. It just says that the tax commissioner will not rule upon the propriety of the exemption.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. The statement was that they would not be accepted. The refund claim would not be accepted until the certificate had been issued.
Is that in the record? Was it found in the record anyplace? Is there?
It is. Well, it's in the record of the 1993 case, which is what the tax commissioner brought up in its brief.
I mean, the statement by the representative of the tax department. Does that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is.
Does that appear anyplace in the record?
Yes, it's in at supplement 15, which is page 49 of the BTA hearing transcript. Tax commissioner's auditor told the SCM employee, quote, you cannot take the exemption without having receipt of the certificate.
Well, that doesn't say you can't file it. You can't take it and with any certainty, but that's not saying you're prohibited from filing the appropriate paperwork, is it?
Well, I believe it is. That was certainly the understanding that SCM had.
Did they clarify that?
It was a change in policy. I don't have any knowledge that they clarified that, no, Your Honor. But the it was clear to them that that was the policy, and moreover, there's no authority that we can find in the law for the tax commissioner to hold these refund claims for some period of time after the taxpayer has filed them when there was no right to claim the exemption at the time the claim was filed. What the tax commissioner is proposing is that without the right to file a refund claim, the taxpayer should go ahead and file it. The tax commissioner will, under no evidence of authority that we can find, sit on those claims, because when the tax commissioner refers to a final assessment petition, that is a refund claim. It's the same thing. We don't believe
the
that there's authority
we for have, or I have, at least, is that the statute seems to be very clear. That's a deadline, and the commissioner here, the board here, tried to change it. And Mr. Farron, if he's right, I assume he's correct, that it's the general practice of the department to take an application for a refund before the certificate from EPA is received. That's the general practice. It seems as if, given your statement that you have somebody from the tax department, he must have given bad advice. The problem I have is writing law that fits this situation, when fairly unique situation, seems to me, as you stated it, when the statute seems to be very, very clear.
Well, as Your Honor noted, there may have been bad advice given, but there also was no guidance given by the tax department, tax commissioner, throughout this entire period. This issue has existed at least since the 1993 National Distillers decision by the Board of Tax Appeals. In that 10-year period before the statute was amended, there's been no guidance issued by the tax commissioner, no policy statement, no rules to state that this sort of extra statutory procedure would be allowed to
Council,
submit a refund.
You complain about the commissioner sitting on the applications, but from what you described, the only other alternative would be to say denied.
Correct.
And that would be adverse to the interests of your client. So sitting on it would presumably be a break for those who are in the process of applying for the certificate. Is there not in the law a procedure when there's going to be an investment in pollution control equipment to set up the exemption from the start so that no tax is paid and no refund is necessary, so that there's no question of who has to give back or the local taxing authorities belatedly having to cough up something that they thought was theirs to spend. Is there no procedure to, in a timely fashion, see to it that the taxpayer doesn't pay tax in the first place?
The only way to avoid paying taxes is to be able to claim a refund, to claim the exemption. The exemption doesn't exist until the exemption certificate is issued. So there was no way.
Well, Mr. Farron suggests that when you start the project, you can apply for the exemption.
Well, in order to apply for the exemption, you have to detail the costs that are going to be involved. You have to file detailed plans, construction plans. Those don't always exist. These are multi-year construction projects, and they don't always exist at the beginning of the project.
Well, for unless it's a minor expenditure, I would think for most companies, all of that would be a part of, would be necessary to make an appropriate decision by management whether or not to make the investment in the first place.
That's correct.
And so why wouldn't one normally be able to, I mean, I can understand for equipment that may have been in place when a law was created granting tax breaks.
Yes.
That you could only go forward from that point. But for new construction after the law is in place, is there no procedure
to
just not pay in the first place?
I am not aware of any procedure, Your Honor, that they would allow them to avoid payment of the tax in the first place until they...
That makes no sense at all, does it?
Well, again, the way the legislature set it up was for the exemption to be effective when the exemption certificate is issued and not before then, even though it has a retroactive date once the exemption certificate is issued. I would point out that the amendments to the statute, legislature recognized that this was an issue and cured it not only in the way Mr. Farron described, but also allowing the tax commissioner to permit these pre-issuance of certificate refund claims. There's a specific provision that permits that was not in the law before. And so if that was a permissible practice by the tax commissioner, one would expect that to have been not have needed amendment by the legislature.
Counsel, you stated earlier that there was no guidance from the tax department with regard to the exemptions. Are you saying there's no rules, no regs, no administrative information that you could rely on?
Correct. Not.
So then wouldn't it stand to reason that the statute then is your only guidance and the deadline, second Monday in August, 2 years, you know, after the triggering event, is your drop-dead date?
Well, there was also guidance from the Board of Tax Appeals in the National Distillers case. So since 1993, at least, there was the presumption that if a certificate had not been issued, by the time the deadline had passed for filing a refund claim, that certainly that situation is one that would not require knock the taxpayer out of the box. And that's the case of the error certificate in this case, is that the exemption certificate was not even issued until past the 2-year deadline. So in our view, that the guidance that had been given was through the Board of Tax Appeals by the National Distillers case. What the tax commissioner is proposing is that was incorrectly decided, and so we're now looking for, in effect, a retroactive ruling.
There's no other sweeping general statute applying to the tax commissioner that...
There is a general 5-year statute from the time of the overpayment, which would have been when the overpayment came when the certificates were issued, because that's when it was determined that there was an entitlement to an exemption. The problem with that statute is that it applies specifically to taxes that are paid to the state treasurer as opposed to paid to the county. In our view, it's applicable because personal property taxes are administered by the state of Ohio, and they're distributed to the county, but we do acknowledge that initially the taxes are collected by the county.
So you would have to apply that in spirit rather than the literal application.
We believe that's the only other statute that could possibly apply.
Other than that, you argue the pollution certificate statute should be read to toll the statute of limitations.
Yes, until the certificate has been issued.
But are you taking the position then that you have 2 years after the certificate is issued to make the filing?
No, we're not, because the two-year statute only applies from the date of filing of the return in this case. So the filing of the return date would not be the triggering date. That statute would have to be interpreted to apply to the issuance of the certificate as opposed to the filing of the return.
Now, you had another year that was for which you could have been within the 2 years, but you weren't. Did you not? The Board of Tax Appeals split on...
Yes. Board of Tax Appeals determined that the certificate, the air certificate, having been issued after the end of the two-year statute, did require relief, but that the water certificates did not.
Do you have an argument on that you want to advance this morning? Mr. Farron did not touch on that.
Yes. We believe that the... if the two-year statute doesn't apply, it doesn't apply, you know, when the certificate is issued. So the fact that the certificate was issued during the two-year period, in our view, doesn't preclude the tolling of the statute. But we certainly feel that the case is much more egregious in the case of the air certificate. So to that extent, we would agree with the Board of Tax Appeals. I'd like to reserve the balance of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Scoggins. Mr. Farron, you've saved about a little over a minute and a half of your time.
Initially, I would like to address SCM's statement that the tax agent told SCM that it could not file a refund claim until it obtained the certificate. A review of the testimony at page 49 of the statutory transcript, page 15 of the supplement, reveals that's not the case. The agent was referring to SCM's 1993 return, where it attempted to claim the exemption on the return. It didn't report the property. The agent simply told them, you cannot claim an exemption on your return until you get the certificate. He wasn't speaking at all about trying to obtain a refund of it through applying for an application or filing an application for a final assessment within the statute of limitations. SCM also argues that in response to the commissioner's assertion that he will simply hold the applications for refund until the proceedings regarding the certificates are completed, states that there's no authority to hold those. Well, there's certainly no authority that precludes him from holding it. It's the tax commissioner's discretion on how to handle applications that are fine. There's no time period within which he has to act. He can hold them, and he does hold them. With respect to whether there is any process for claiming the exemption at the very beginning, at least under the former law, it's correct that the taxpayer cannot simply eliminate that property from its return. But it can certainly act promptly, and as soon as it acquires pollution control property or begins construction of pollution control property, it can file an application for a certificate, get the process going, and then, prior to any particular tax year running, file an application for refund to keep them open. There's a procedure.
Counselor, are they allowed to amend their application? There was some discussion here that maybe the final cost and the expense and that maybe the change in the plans or whatever with these major projects, it's always possible, I would presume, to update your information with the tax or with EPA and then, you know, subsequently the tax commissioner. to comport with what actually is transpiring.
That's fairly common, Your Honor, and yes, as long as once the application is filed, that stops the running of the statute of limitations. You can and you can add additional amounts, property, and so forth. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Farron. Mr. Scoggins, you've saved a little more than 2 minutes of your time.
Thank you. I would just point out the application Mr. Farron was referring to is not the application for the tax exemption certificate, but could be updated. I think the Justice was asking about the certificate itself. These projects are, again, multi-year projects requiring substantial sums over a long period of time, and in this case, for example, the water certificates were applied from the time that the exemption certificates were applied for to when they were issued were 5 and 6 years. So the government itself is taking that long to decide the issue. The taxpayer, the legislature clearly intended for the taxpayers to benefit from exemption of pollution control properties. And it seems unlikely that they would have set up a system where it is likely that taxpayers could not benefit from it, except by following a procedure which is not detailed in the statute, and which in our view is not permitted by the statute. Where is there any other circumstance where a taxpayer can claim an exemption they're not entitled to? We don't believe there is, and we don't believe that that's what the legislature intended. So in our view, the legislature's intent to allow taxpayers to benefit from the tax exemption can only be achieved if, at least in the circumstance where the certificate is not issued past the period of the 2-year statute, that exemption be permitted. The statute says the exemption is effective on the date of the certificate. If the plan suggested by counsel is to apply for an exemption to which you're not entitled, and we do not believe that that gives the tax commissioner the authority to then refrain from denying that exemption. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scoggins. The case is submitted. You will be advised of our opinion.